Well, yeah, don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. And in fact, somebody else is sitting under the apple tree with me this evening, and it is Paula Shatkin.
Hello, Arnoldo.
Well, welcome, and we're going to be chatting with Paula about the Apple Festival coming right up next month, very soon, mm-hmm. in just a few weeks, and also hopefully about the slow food movement, hear about what's been happening over the last year. And let me just do a couple of announcements.
Okay.
It's Cows Radio 107.3 FM coming to you from Apple-friendly downtown Occidental. And you were just listening to an interview I had with Colin Hay, the ex-Man of Work, Man at Work, singer-songwriter, and his new album. And he will be coming to the Last Day Saloon on the 31st. Of this month, so go and see him, except it is next week and you may miss my show, but it'll be tough because we do have Cindy Sheehan next week, so hope everyone's gonna come to the market where she'll be signing her book and hanging out with the cows people in the herd, and also we'll be on the radio, so everyone listen to Cows Radio. So in fact, now Paula, it's interesting, you were the very first person I interviewed back in May of 08.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's great.
So I want to say thank you very, very much.
And thank you. And today was the first day I saw Gravenstein apples in the market, so it just seems like the perfect time to be here.
Oh, wonderful. That is perfect. Timing is everything, as they say. Now, the festival's coming up again, and it's a big one in Regal Park. Perhaps you can give us a little rundown on what's going to be there and what's happening.
Well, sure. The Gravenstein Apple Fair is August 15th and 16th, and as most people know, we have a Gravenstein Apple Fair every year here for a long time, the reason being that Gravenstein apples were really the signature crop in our community for many, many years, starting actually in 1900. That was when we had thousands and thousands of apple orchards all over. And if we look around Sebastopol, you see there's Gravenstein School District, and there's Gravenstein Highway, and there's an Apple Blossom Festival, and there's the town logo has an apple in it. And yet, about 10 years ago, some of us started to notice that if you look to the right and you look to the left, you saw apple orchards being mowed down.
Right.
And I'm a member of the Slow Food Movement, which is an international movement that started in Italy and has members in every single country of the world and all over the United States. And one of the things the Slow Food Movement really focuses on is trying to save endangered foods that particularly have cultural significance. And here we have the Gravenstein apple, and it has a lot of cultural significance. This is really the only place that they grow as well as or as much as they do. And we could lose them. And it's really important for people to know that. We could actually lose them if we don't keep buying them.
Wow. So there really is nowhere really else in the world that grows them to any commercial extent.
Correct. Then. Nowhere else. There are a few in the East and a few in Oregon, but there's nowhere else where there's a commercial. Now, the word commercial is kind of iffy here too, because we used to have in Sebastopol vacuum dry. We used to dry apples here. We used to have Barlow. We used to have more than one processor. We used to It was a big hub and big industrial hub of apple processing here for a long time. Now we're down to one processor, that's Manzana in Grayton.
Oh, yes.
And not a whole lot of competition in terms of the processors. I think Martinelli buys some of our apples and Trader Joe buys some of our apples. And we're really losing ground. So the slow food movement has this thing called a presidia, which is a Latin word for fortress.
Presidia.
And in Europe, there's at least 150 presidia projects all over the world, which adopt a food that is really in danger of being lost, and to globalization, to industrialization, to homogenization of the food systems all over the world. In the United States, there's only 6 Presidio projects. In California, there's only 1, and it's the Sebastopol Gravenstein apple.
Oh, my goodness. That is, I mean, it's wonderful, but it's awful because there's so few in America.
There's so few projects.
Yeah, projects in America.
I'm trying to remember what some of the other ones are. There's a sheep, the churro sheep. There's a, I think, an oyster. I should know this, but I don't remember them all. There's a raw milk cheese. I think there's a raw milk cheese Presidio, too. So our local chapter of Slow Food is called the Russian River Chapter, Slow Food Russian River. And we applied about 8 years ago. You have to apply to Italy, to the Slow Food Foundation for Biodiversity, to be accepted as a Presidio project, because it's a big deal.
Oh, so you can't just announce that you're doing it.
No,
it's got to be under the aegis.
The Slow Food movement has to approve. So I drove around Sebastopol one winter taking pictures of every street sign and every dentist's office and every school and every shop that had the word Gravenstein in it. That was before I even had a digital camera. I put together this pile of photos, and somebody went to Italy and carried it along with the application, the interviews with all the farmers. A food to be adopted by Slow Food has to be good, clean, and fair. Those are the three words that Slow Food uses now as a sort of a basis. Good meaning good. Clean meaning not polluting in its processing. And fair meaning the people that grow them and make them get paid fairly. Well, that's a little iffy here, because I think that farmers don't always make as much money as they should.
Right.
But it's not because somebody else isn't paying them well. It's because because of the market.
Right.
So we have this other process called the Ark of Taste, like the Noah's Ark. So lots and lots and lots of foods are boarded onto the Ark. And we have, Slow Food has an Ark and Presidio committee that meets quarterly. And anybody can nominate foods that are in danger of being lost, that are heirloom foods, that are artisan foods, that need some recognition and protection. So the Gravenstein apple was on the Ark, and now it's a Presidio. So we've been working for 7 years. We have interviewed as many farmers who grow Gravensteins as we can. We've created a list of all the growers, and it's divided into three parts. There's conventional growers, there's transitional growers. Those are people that are moving into organic, but they're not there yet. It takes about 3 years. And then there's organic growers. And there's one other category now. It'll come to me.
Okay.
And we have put it on our website, slowfoodrr.org. And then we've done a lot of publicity all over California. Now, Gravenstein apples don't ship very well.
Oh.
And they have
that much different from other apples?
Really, yeah. Really don't ship very well. Oh. Really don't keep very well after they're off the tree. There's other problems, too. They have a really short stem. They fall off the tree early. Oh. That's why you see so many trees on the apples on the ground. So the ground apples are the ones that the farmers pretty much sell for vinegar and apple juice and applesauce. But they get very little money for the ground apples.
Yeah.
They barely make enough money to pay for picking them up off the ground.
Yeah.
The only way they really make money is on the fresh apple. But again, they don't keep very well. They don't last very well. They don't store very well. So it really behooves us all to come into Sebastopol and buy apples basically during the month of August. Mm. That's their peak season.
Because they're an early apple.
It's a very early apple, and that's another one of its handicaps. Because it's an early apple and we're still eating stone fruit, think about it.
Right.
And apples are tart, and stone fruit is sweeter. Sometimes people's mouths aren't ready for apples in August.
Right.
So it's another one of those little interesting little tidbits about Gravenstein apple that makes them harder. It makes it harder for them to really hold their market.
Right.
So we have done I have this great, great committee. It's called the Apple Corps. We've been meeting all year, for every year, for 7 years and growing. Big, active committee. This year, this is the second year in a row we've done this, and this is the biggest year we've had. We've got so far, 70 restaurants all over Sonoma County and the Bay Area that have committed to feature Gravenstein apples on their menus for the month of August. Huh. We've given every one of them posters to put in their window and printed material talking about how you can help save the Gravensteins. 70 restaurants. Then we've given them each a copy of our list of farmers so that they can call a farmer, find, get their own apples, put them on their menu.
Oh, amazing.
So we're hoping that that really increases the demand. I mean, I think what we think is that the way to make this happen is to increase the demand for the apple so that the farmers feel comfortable raising the price a little. And it doesn't even have to be that much.
Right.
So that they make a fair return and they can feel like continuing to grow apples instead of plowing under their trees and growing grapes.
Wow. That's, yeah. That does sound something we need to do, isn't it? Yeah.
Now, here at the Occidental Farmers Market, I noticed there were the first people I saw selling Gravs, and they had them for $1 a pound.
Wow, that's good.
Now, if all the farmers could get even 50 cents a pound for their fresh apples, they'd be happy, but they don't.
Wow.
So,
Yeah, the margin is...
Now, I bought two onions down here today that cost me almost $3, and I didn't mind because I knew it was local and I knew it was, you know, local basically.
Right.
But people, the problem, one of the problems with the Gravs is that so many people up here have a tree in their backyard that they don't even think of it as a commodity, as it's something to buy and something to pay for. In the olden days, people used to come up here to Sebastopol in August and buy boxes of apples, some people still do, and put up their applesauce and make apple pies. Now, people are starting to can again. Did you notice? Have you noticed that?
Yes. It is I think since the last, you know, since the recession started, I think people are really thinking about it now.
There was just a free canning workshop at Sebastopol Hardware last week. 107 people showed up.
You have to be kidding me.
I am not kidding. They were just blown away.
Wow. There's a need. There's a need for those basic skills and crafts again.
Now, if everybody bought a box of Gravenstein apples and made applesauce for the winter, and let me tell you how easy it is to make applesauce. You don't even have to peel the apples. You cut the apples in quarters. You throw them in a pot with either a little water or a little apple juice. And you just cook it until it's mushy. Then you put it through a little hand food mill. You don't have to have peeled it. The peels will just stay in the top of the food mill. And you've got applesauce. And you can either freeze it if you're afraid of canning, which isn't hard, or you can can it. And you can have it all year, and you can help your local apple grower by buying more apples, and you can help yourself by having applesauce all year.
Wow, that's not bad. Okay, what's the weirdest thing that you've ever seen made out of Gravenstein apples? Anything really bizarre?
I can't think. Now, while I think about it, while I'm thinking about it, so we have the Gravenstein Fair coming up August 15th through 16th, but before the Gravenstein Fair, we have the Gravenstein season kickoff at the Sebastopol Farmers Market.
Oh.
Now, this is the third year that Slow Food has sponsored, working with Paula Downing, who runs the Sebastopol Farmers Market, a big kickoff of the beginning of Gravenstein season. So that'll be Sunday, August 2nd.
Okay.
At the Farmers Market, we will have, first of all, Michelle Anna Jordan, columnist for the PD, cookbook author, and radio personality of her own, will be broadcasting her show from the Sebastopol Farmers Market, and she'll be interviewing some of our local farmers. Then we'll have three local chefs, well-known chefs, serving tastes of products made with Gravenstein apples, of dishes made with Gravenstein apples, and we'll have Dominique Sweets, who will be selling apple pies and apple turnovers, and I forget who else, but there's going to be a lot of things made with Gravenstein apples, plus the Slow Food group is going to have a table, and they're going to be squeezing fresh apple juice and giving out free apple juice samples.
Wow. Now, that's at the Sebastopol Farmers Market this Sunday?
It's a week from Sunday.
August 2nd. Sunday, yeah.
Right. And then some people will be selling apple cider, apple sauce, various apple products. And at the Gravenstein Fair, which is 2 weeks later, at the Slow Food booth, we will have two producers, Nana Mays Organics and Sensuous Foods, at our table, selling apple butter, apple sauce, apple vinegar, apple juice, everything made with 100% Gravenstein apples.
Oh, incredible.
So, you know, a lot of people come to the Gravenstein Fair, thousands, so we're hoping that we, you know, we can help these people sell a lot of their product, and then various apple farmers come to the fair and sell their apples. It's a it's an important market for them.
Oh, I'm sure it's really a lot of fun as well. I really enjoyed it last year. Yeah. And the year before.
Right. There's good music and pie eating contests and apple fritters and rides for the kids and all kinds of stuff.
And have those great old tractors displayed. Oh, it's wonderful stuff. Is good.
Yeah.
So do you have, your website address and phone numbers and things like that? So,
well, our web address is www.slowfoodrr, as in RussianRiver.org. We also bought the domain name www.sebastopolgravenstein.com. So if anybody goes online looking for information about Gravenstein apples, they end up finding, me. And I get these very funny phone calls from people from all over the world.
Really?
Oh, I used to eat Gravenstein apples when I was a kid. How can I get some now? And I tell them, I'm not shipping you any. When they get there, they won't be good, and you'll be disappointed. You know, so I try to steer them into where to find apple sauce, apple juice, things that are made with Gravensteins.
Right, and then get it over the internet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So
much,
much easier that way.
Now, we sell bumper stickers, the Gravenstein bumper stickers. We're going to be selling them at our booth in both places. They're beautiful. And I have this fantasy that driving around Sebastopol with every car having a Save the Gravenstein bumper sticker, wouldn't that really raise consciousness?
It would be that sense of community that people are really banding together to, you know, that, it's as if it's the last redwood or whatever. I mean, it's important to preserve those things.
It is.
And how much does it cost to get into the festival on 15th and 16th?
Oh, gee, I don't know.
It's
not very much.
Not a lot, yeah.
No.
And what time does it start?
I think it starts at 9 on Saturday and 10 on Sunday.
And goes through the whole day?
Go the whole day till 5 on Sunday and 6 on Saturday, I think.
Mm.
And then the Sebastopol Farmers Market is usually 10 to 1.
Right, yeah.
That'll be on the 2nd. So this is just the beginning. Today is the first day I've seen them. I mean, they're starting to come off the trees. The agriculture department, I believe, has to verify that the sugar content is at a certain level before it can actually be sold commercially. It's called BRIX, B-R-I-X, the BRIX numbers.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I've got another interview coming in, so can we just wrap it up? Thank you very much,
You're
Paula.
Very welcome. Thanks
thank
for
so
giving
much
me the opportunity. Everybody come to the farmers market and the fair. Buy your apples.
All right.